everyone. This is Kimberly.
And this is Katie.
And you're listening to A Date with Dateline.
Good evening, Tova. As we begin our episode tonight, I want to begin with a quote, a text message from Kimberly. I can't pull it up on my phone because I'm actually looking at you on my phone. But it was something to the effect of, you're going to need to think of some really good Jewish puns because I can't think of any.
Yeah, I got nothing. I'm just going to say that straight off the bat. I know you guys think I'm a brilliant punster. No, I'm not.
Word on the street.
But I got nothing. I was looking like thinking Fiddler on the Roof. I was trying to go Jewy, like what's Jewy? Yentl? I don't know.
Right.
Bat mitzvah? There's nothing that rhymes with bat mitzvah. So it was very, maybe you got something.
Are you sure there isn't?
Okay. I mean, you got something. I was really struggling in the pun title department.
Okay. No, I understand.
And I felt like there's extra pressure on me because these are my people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how long did you think about it for?
Not probably long enough. I'm known to not put in a lot of work for things. Mm.
Did you think you could have thought a little bit harder?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. You just missed my first two, so we'll just keep going and we'll see how many you can catch.
Did you just do two and I totally missed them? Like, you did them?
Yeah.
Okay, wait, do them again. I missed them.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Do you feel like I could have spent more time on them?
Did you feel like you could have spent more time? I'm saying Jew. Did you think you could have spent more time on them?
I didn't get that at all. I really missed that.
It's all right. I'm just going to subtly slide them in. We'll see how many you can get because I've got a list.
Oh, boy. Anyways, this episode is called Endgame, which means I don't know why it's the title. I think I know, but not really. I think because there's a game involved heavily and it's a pun on that game, but it still seems just really dumb.
Is it a pun on the game?
Do you think so? I mean, Endgame could really apply to anyone who is going to murder someone or like anyone who's trying to do anything that's a plan and you go, what is your end game here? Nowadays in hip hop culture and Taylor Swift culture, it is the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with. They're my end game. It's slang. It's like your ride or die.
Do you stan them? Is that right?
You kind of used that right. Kind of.
I did. Okay.
A little bit.
There you go.
So anyways, this episode is called Endgame, a.k.a. Jews in the house. Jews in the house, walking around town with my Jews in the house.
Sunrise, sunset. You're great. You got it. I'm excited.
This happened on March 15th, 2019. This happened. This episode aired. Episode 24 of the 27th season, hosted by Preggers Andrea, looking just fly, gorgeous. Glowing. She's glowing like a menorah.
I forgot. There you go. I forgot she was pregnant.
She's showing in the most beautiful way.
She is? In what part?
In the beginning when she's walking in New York.
Oh, yeah.
And she has a red coat on.
Yes,
yes. I mean, a pink coat on.
Mm-hmm. I remember. Okay.
Yeah. This episode takes place in New York City, which means I'm going to have to control myself with the Seinfeld references.
No, I'm ready.
I might. Okay. Andrea starts the episode by explaining to us basically what New York is. Andrea started her family in New York on the Upper West Side.
On the Upper East Side.
Because she is fancy.
And I was excited about this. You maybe thought it went on too long, but we got a personal Andrea story, which is rare.
We'd never get that. Right. Very personal. Apparently lived like two blocks from where this murder happened.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It was 2009 and it was New Year's Eve and a man named Rod. Has there been a good Rod? Do we know any? I know a Rodney and he's okay.
He didn't look like a Rod.
He did not look like a Rod.
Not so much.
At all. He looked like a Hans.
Is he a Roderick? He's a Roderick.
That's what the dad said.
So we will be calling him Roderick from here on out because Rod looks like Rod Stewart. I don't want.
Oh, Rod Stewart. I forgot about Rod Stewart.
Yeah, Rod Stewart.
I kept thinking of the guy that Luann was dating on King of the Hill named Rad Tibidius.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd be like, I'm Rad, ladies. No.
Rad. No, thank you. No, thank you, Rad.
So a man named Roderick, but that now he sounds like a Mary, like a king of the, one of the Mary, the Lancelot, the Knights of the Round Table.
You feel like Roderick? Sir Roderick?
Sir Roderick. Sir Roderick.
Okay, so now we've gone from the Cockney Garrett to Sir Roderick.
Exactly.
Sir Roderick and his merry band of idiots.
There, okay, that's there what I was going for. Okay, a man named Sir Roderick called 911 to say his daughter found his wife unconscious in the bathtub. This is our second bathtub.
It is.
In a week, but this is not a devil's bathtub or a secular bathtub. It is a Jew bathtub.
So what does that mean?
Nothing. I don't really know what that means. Jews, I don't think, have a super like affinity for or aversion. I don't think we have an affinity nor an aversion to baths.
Sorry, I thought I was totally missing something. Like there was a special seal around the tub.
No.
Okay. No. All right.
A seal like a caulking?
Yes, like a caulking, not like a not like that kind
or
of a
like
seal.
Or like a seal, like a gold seal Jew on it.
No,
and it's stamped on the side.
Like a caulking seal that would be like, if you're chosen, you can break through the seal and bathe.
I see.
Your naked body.
I see.
I don't know.
I think there's a Orthodox or religious Israeli tradition involving a bath when you get married. I can't really remember.
Oh, really?
But I feel like that's something. I could be wrong.
Okay.
Anyways. Someone just told me, I know a lot about Judaism. I know that you guys have fish on Fridays. And I know, I go, that's not us.
You don't have fish on Fridays?
No.
Oh.
That's Catholics. That's not us.
Oh.
And then she's like, no, I think it is. I go, we can't have shellfish. We can have fish anytime we want. Okay. So Shelley was found dead in the bathtub. She was 47.
Oh.
She looked really good for her age.
She's beautiful.
Yeah. She was brunette when she was younger, and then she kind of went a little shiksa and got really blonde. But
it's
I thought
beautiful.
She looked beautiful. I thought she looked better as a blonde, actually.
Really?
I thought it suited her.
I couldn't see any pictures clearly with the brown hair, so I think all the good pictures were her blonde.
That makes sense. There's a tub that's filled with bloody water, a cabinet with a door off its hinge, like she possibly grabbed it and fell into the tub.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Shelley was wealthy. She made a lot of money at Merrill Lynch. She also belonged to the Friars Club, which there's a great Seinfeld episode about Friars Club.
Can you tell me about Friars Club? What is it?
It is a old school, maybe Jewish, but I'm not sure, club for entertainers in New York.
What do you mean?
So
entertainers,
comedians,
like Liza,
you know, like that. Yes, but more like male entertainers. Like I don't know when they started letting in women. I'm guessing they maybe didn't always.
Like Bob Hope?
I'm thinking
Hope?
More of like Bob Hope, Jerry. Who is the insult comic? Don Knotts. Don Knotts? No, he's the one from.
Where are you going? Who are you thinking of? Is it like a.
Wait, Alexa. Who is the insult comedian?
Triumph, the dog.
You have insult generator enabled. This skill is rated mature. Do you want to open it?
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
You have insult generator enabled. This skill is rated mature. Do you want to open it?
Yes, absolutely I do. Okay, there's nothing.
What's
you know who I'm thinking of? Don Rickles.
There we go.
Okay, but so anyways, Alexa, what is the Friars Club?
The Friars Club, the private club in New York City, New York, famous for its risque celebrity roast.
Oh, so they have roast. That's why you're thinking of insult comedians. Okay.
No, because it's for entertainers specifically. Like on Seinfeld, Jerry was put up by like an older member. You have to be put up by somebody, like sponsored by somebody to get into the club. You know the roasts. Like
I know.
The old
I totally understand
roasts.
What you're
Not
talking
the new
about.
Roasts, but like
no,
the old roasts. It's very old school.
That's interesting. The Friars Club. Okay. So it's like Club 33.
No, because isn't that like a, is that the one at Disneyland?
Yeah, but you have to be sponsored to get in.
Gotcha.
You have to either be a member or someone has to put your name.
Yeah.
For
And I think
to go
inside it's like a country club, like where there's tables and you eat dinner there and stuff. But you can only go if you're a member or you're with a member.
It's like the Magic Castle in LA.
It's kind of like the Magic Castle, except there are no magic shows. It's you eat dinner.
You eat dinner and maybe get roasted.
Maybe there's shows that are roasting. Yeah.
You eat a roast and there's a possible roast. It's double roast.
Sure.
Double roast expressed.
Yeah. Okay. So in 1998, Shelley went to a Jewish singles mixer, which if my parents realize there are those still, I will be in trouble because they will be forcing me to go.
I'm going to say this. Your parents are nothing compared to what I will do if I find out that they're Jewish single mixers.
So she met Rod at this mixer, and they fell so hard that they planned to go to the airport and get married right away.
Mm-hmm.
And she called her sister, and her sister talked her out of it. Rod was 11 years younger than Shelley.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
That makes him more of a Rod.
It does make him more of a
he's
Rod.
He's not Roderick now.
No, if he's the younger man. Yeah.
The much younger man. The decade younger man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Rod
wait a minute, sorry. Was he like 20 and she was 30? Is that what we're thinking?
So if she died in 2009 mm-hmm. and they met in 98, then that was 11 years. And she died when she was 47. So that means she was 36 when they met.
And he was 25.
And he was 25. Who is good at math? Drop the mic.
That's good.
What if I'm wrong?
Bye, everybody.
What if I was wrong? What if my math is faulty?
I don't know. I'm really not thinking sad about it very hard. But wait,
my parents paid a guy to take my SATs for me. It's okay. And they said I was on the crew team. So it's fine.
Good work.
Yeah.
Full scholarship.
Yeah, full scholarship. So they met. So they were going to go get married. Sister talked her out of it. Rod is younger. Rod told his parents that they had to meet his new girlfriend. And his mom was like, okay, but Passover's coming up. We're so busy. I was like, Mom, we get it. You're Jewish.
That's
don't
amazing.
You just hate it when people talk about how they're Jewish all the time? It is so annoying.
Yeah.
We get it.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you guys know I was Jewish?
What?
Yeah. Since when? I know.
I'm writing that down.
Kimberly. Rod and Shelley got married when she was a brunette. She was super successful, and he was just okay at succeeding.
That was funny. That was worded very carefully.
Yeah. Mid-range succeeder, sort of.
It was, what did they say? Low-level stock trader?
Yeah, like mid-range.
Something like that. Mid-range stock trader, which means what? He did it once? What does that mean?
I don't know.
Because they're pretty polite on Dateline, so you know whatever they're saying is way worse than that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
It means he did diddly squat. He sat around.
No, he wasn't like the guys in The Wolf of Wall Street or like Greed is Good. He was like, Greed's okay. I'd rather play backgammon.
Oh, boy. We're not there yet.
We're almost now
there.
So he had two hobbies.
Yep.
Martial arts and
come
backgammon.
On.
And but if you backgammon was not really a hobby. It was his life.
And all my Always Sunny in Philadelphia fans out there, if that doesn't sound like Mac, oh my,
No one mentioned that on Twitter.
It's karate. He always does these
karate
moves. Oh,
karate, not backgammon.
No, martial arts. He always thinks he's a master. Like, people that say that they're experienced.
Yeah.
Is he? I am always skeptical, and I hate to say that, because it's really mean. Because some people are very good at martial arts, but so many people say
your
they are.
Your husband is into it, and he's good.
But I would have needed proof of that.
You were skeptical
before I believed it. No, it's like someone saying they're a DJ. I'm in martial arts. What are you doing? I need to see.
You have your regular dojo and your sensei, like Dwight.
Your sensei.
And or as Kramer would say, he's going to karate.
Karate, yeah.
And he uses this power to enlighten Elaine and give her the empowerment to run the company. And she goes to the dojo to thank him. And she finds out that he's in a class with a bunch of 10-year-olds.
When I first studied karate.
Karate?
Yeah, karate. I had no support. Not from him, not from Newman. No. First time I sparred with an opponent, I was terrified. My legs, they were like noodles. Then I looked inside and I found my katra.
Katra?
Yeah, your spirit, your being, that part of you that says, yes, I can.
Sammy Davis had it.
So I listened to my katra. Now, what? I'm dominating the dojo. I'm class champion.
Yeah, that's a very real thing to me.
So,
yeah,
backgammon is the real thing, though. And if you're hoping to hear about backgammon another 27 times, then this is the episode for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do not take a drink every time they say backgammon, because you will die.
You'll have to go to the hospital.
Yeah. Speaking of, one of us has had our stomach pumped.
What did you do?
I was a child.
You ate something bad. You did something. You eat a penny? Several pennies? Like a handful of pennies?
I am a Jew. We do like money.
Were you trying to eat the coin? What did you do?
I ate our dog's heartworm pills.
Oh, snap.
Like a bottle.
You were downing pills. How old were you?
Like 2 or 3. I don't remember it. And then they had to take me to the hospital. I got my stomach pumped.
Where was your mom?
Yeah, where, Joni, where were you?
Karate.
She was at karate class. No, she was getting her tips frosted because that's all she did in the 80s. She had a job.
All day, every day?
For a congressman. But then she would come home and she would wear that cap.
Yes.
And then you put the cap on. And then you pull through with the little crochet hook.
Yeah.
And then frost her tips. That's all she did in the 80s.
That's it. That was her hobby.
Well, she ran. She jogged a lot, too. She was a jogger. She jogged up until she was 8 months pregnant with me.
Wow.
She ran a half marathon. Wow. When she was pregnant with me.
Go get them, Joni. That's
Speaking
amazing.
Speaking of babies, they had a baby. And then, sadly, they lost twins. And this was the saddest thing ever because they're telling it to Andrea. And Andrea's pregnant. Oh, no.
Yeah, she looks just like she's about to just start sobbing. No, don't it's do it. Awful. Oh,
God in heaven.
And also, then we should say who the interviews are with.
Oh, right. So we're talking to Shelley's sister and her husband. Her husband has an indeterminate accent that was driving a lot of people crazy on Twitter. They felt like that was the real mystery of the case, was where he was from. Mm. And then one person said, does he have an accent or is he just Jewish?
Oh, my. Oh, my.
No, he had an accent. Oh, we don't all have accents.
Jewish
it's not
accent.
Like you're born Jewish and you're born with an accent.
Oy vey. What is it?
I think we landed on South African.
There you go. That's actually really, that's close. I bet you that's it.
I think that's what Twitter landed. That sounds right, right?
But so that is the sister, that is Shelley's sister's husband.
Yeah, it's the brother-in-law. Yes. Mm. Okay. And they, I have to say, you can't look Jewish, but they look like every person I go to temple with. The blazer that really? She's wearing and the headband. Mm. Like I know I could look down the row at synagogue and I would see 10 of them.
So it was more of a style factor as well.
Yeah, not a look per se. Not something offensive.
Headband, I'm going to agree with you. Headband, I'm going to agree.
Yeah, it's a headband and then the texture of the jacket. Something about that jacket felt very synagogue-y to me. I don't know why. So they ended up having 2 kids. Shelley is passed away, and the...
Wait, sorry. That was right. Okay.
Well, they had kids, and then 3 years later, she had passed away.
But after, you were talking about the twins. So after the twins, they have another
They
son,
had another
right?
kid.
Right.
They had a boy. Mm-hmm. So they have Got a it. Girl and a boy.
Got it.
And then 3 years later, she had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And the family did not get an autopsy because of religion. Now, this rang fishy as heck to me.
Hmm?
So I did a little interneting because I don't know much about this. But apparently this was kind of BS because Judaism is totally okay with autopsies in most scenarios, including ones like this. So I really think that this rabbi was a little bit off base when he told them not to get the autopsy.
But it was definitely the rabbi, right, who said
the rabbi
don't
told
do it.
The dad. Don't get the autopsy.
But now this is my only thought with the autopsy is that now we talked about this the other week, not on the podcast, but the time period's very important for the burial, correct? Because there's no embalming. Am I correct? Right?
If you are Orthodox, you're supposed to bury the body within like 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But most people nowadays just do it within a few days. The sooner the better.
But
and there's no desecrating of the body, which
right.
is why they don't embalm the body. However, autopsies are totally fine in cases where, A, the state or the city that you live in is requiring it for some reason, like because of the way they died or if there's suspicious causes. And the second reason is that in Judaism, life is prized above all else, above death. Like if you are on a funeral parade, what's it called when you're
Procession.
Driving? Procession. It's not a parade.
That's definitely not a parade.
That's terrible. Yeah. I have my pride parade and then I have a death parade the next day. Sorry.
No,
it's not right. A procession. And you come across a wedding procession. The wedding procession gets to go ahead because life precedes death. Life is put held above death. So anywho, autopsy is totally okay if there is a reason that the autopsy would help other people live. So if they had a disease that needed to be studied, if they had taken medication that they might need to learn the side effects of, if there was something they need to find out if it was a genetic cause, like let's say she had a heart attack or a stroke or a seizure, that would be really valuable for her children to know genetically. Okay. So that totally precedes the desecrating the body. So there's really no reason why they couldn't do an autopsy. It seems not, I don't get it.
Okay. Well, I mean, the only thing that I could think of is that the police did not seem terribly interested in doing a full investigation.
Right.
So if they were not pushing it, then the rabbi would, of course, step in and say, well, that's going to take longer. We should bury the body. Because it would take many days longer to do a full autopsy.
Right.
So if the police aren't pushing it, like, no, absolutely, this is a crime scene.
But wouldn't you be like, she's 47, why did she fall?
Well, no, I don't
know. Did she slip on something or did something medical happen? Did she have an aneurysm? Wouldn't you want to know? I don't get it.
Yeah, of course I would want to know. But if there's no husband to push for it, I don't know how hard the sister, I don't know. I don't know how much the sister is taking into account what the police are telling her.
I think they were just so much in shock and they had to make the decision so fast.
I think so too.
That they didn't think about it.
That they went with the religious suggestion of the rabbi, which would be to bury the body.
Right. Yeah. And then they're sitting Shiva, which is after the funeral. And that's when she's like, the sister's like, we finally started to think about what happened.
I think
and they start gossiping because, you know, like Yentas, they like to gossip. And a Shiva is the perfect place to gossip. So they're talking about their marriage was really rocky. And Shelley was complaining that he would go to the gym twice a day and then lounged around on the couch all day. He wasn't really working. And then he also had a violent temper. Also, he was becoming way obsessed with backgammon. But I mean, who can blame him? Because it's really an exciting game with the board and the...
The board?
The dice?
No.
No? The marbles?
What's going... How are you doing? Did you look it up?
Marbles? Chips? Tokens?
You played back... You made it sound like you
Is there
played
an
backgammon.
Iron?
I'm going to give you a lesson in
Do
backgammon.
Do you collect Go?
No. Here's what happened. No, it's a fancy... I called it fancy checkers to Oliver.
Is it the kind with the triangles that are on the board, like in felt?
Yes. It's the kind with the triangles that are on the board, like inverted triangles.
Yeah.
In different black and white.
Yeah. What do you do with them?
So here's what Oliver said, who has played backgammon quite a bit.
Really?
Yeah. So I immediately
Red
said...
Red flag in the
why
house.
Why and who? And he played with his dad.
Oh, that's okay. That's
fine. And I said, so for everyone to know, Oliver's dad was a Ukrainian Orthodox priest.
Yes.
And he said that backgammon to him is a game that old Europeans play. So guys at his dad's parish would play. So these old priests, he said a lot of the Turkish men there would play backgammon.
That makes
sense. Backgammon was the game. He said it's like a chutes and ladders checkers. That's how he described it. And then I immediately asked, can you win money? And he goes, oh, yeah. So it's a betting thing.
Yeah.
So there's apparently a die that has numbers on it. And you can do a one-to-one bet, but then you can get crazy with it and up the ante and, I guess, roll the little die and give it like a higher...
You don't bet on the actual game. You bet on each move?
It's something like that. And then people can drop out and then you win all their money.
Okay. I'm more interested in bridge. I kind of want to learn bridge, even though I heard it's really hard.
I want to learn bridge. You need to give time for that.
I would love for us to, join a bridge club.
I don't know if you have the time to commit to bridge. But you have time to commit to, Words with Friends and things like that. So I think you could commit to bridge.
I don't
Why don't you
words
start
with friends,
playing online?
I play Einstein's Riddle. Okay. Anyways, the brother-in-law thinks that Sir Roderick was so into backgammon because he had all these close friends in the backgammon community. Because you may not know that there's a full-on backgammon community.
Yeah, it's called Gridgammon.
Yeah, Gridgammon. and in person. So there's like online community, and then they meet up at tournaments. Uh-huh. And they're like, hey, you're Gammon Dude 5, right? Like, I don't know what their names would be. Like,
maybe.
I gave myself carpal tunnel playing Einstein's Riddle. So I'm no one to mock someone who has an online gaming addiction. It is an addiction like no other. But I will say, the thought of Rod's parents having to tell him that he needs to stop playing backgammon and spend time with his children, it's like every after-school special where the dad is addicted to online porn or alcohol.
Can I ask you an important question? Which is worse, Xbox or backgammon? Backgammon is more embarrassing.
I think 100%. Yeah. The thing that was embarrassing about the Xbox thing is that he was so much older than the dudes that he was making friends with.
Mm-hmm.
And then he used it to do a murder, which is not great. Like, kind of frowned upon. But I do think that, yeah, backgammon's way more embarrassing, for sure. But I think he wore a t-shirt maybe that said, backgammon bro. Yeah, I think he was really proud of it. I think he thought it made him edgy. Like, you know, hipsters play shuffleboard. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I also just realized what his screen name is.
What is it?
Batgammon. Is that a Batgammon? Batgammon.
Oh, okay. Batman, one. Batgammon.
Batgammon.
86. I always thought it was Batman. Batgammon, too. It's very hard
Bat
for me.
Batgammon?
I kind of thought it was Batgammon.
Well, we're going to get to one part when they say Greegammon, and then I had to look that up for 45 minutes, and that was
That's
unfortunate.
That's the online thing, right?
Well, that was a... Yeah, but it's Gridgammon. It's not Greegammon.
Oh, they said it.
What's Greegammon? And so by the way, anybody out there, if you've got know what Greegammon is, let me know, because I couldn't find it, and I went down several rabbit holes into places I did not want to be.
The dark web?
In the underground backgammon community.
Is there a dark web of backgammon?
I don't know. The Gridgammon site is intense. It's like special thank yous and all sorts of stuff. It's an intense league. They have rankings.
Yeah. So someone on Twitter said that he wasn't even ranked that high. They found him on that site.
Oh, yeah. Where was he?
He was said he normally placed like 1750. 1,750, which apparently is very mid-range. And the guy who was tweeting it said he's always like over 1,800. I don't know if these are scores or rankings or whatever, but he's like, he's really not even that good for someone who played like 28 hours a day. Like, he is not that good.
And I will say that he was referred to in many articles on this case as an ace.
Yeah, I think he was like when Rachel from Sleuth was like, they're calling me an actress.
Yeah.
And he would probably like that, like clip those and be like, they're calling me an ace backgammon player. But he's very B level, I think. At least according to that one guy's Twitter.
That's a shame.
That's a shame. I know.
That's a Roderick.
Sorry,
shame.
You can't hang your hat on that, Roderick. But okay, so Roderick's parents agree that he was playing backgammon too much and he should be spending more time with the family. But they think Shelley was spending way too much time at the Friars Club. Anyways, but Rod was the one that was cheating, and they don't seem to have an opinion on that. The parents have nothing to say about that. He was cheating with multiple women, and when Shelley found out, he said he wanted to have an open marriage. And she said no, and Rod moved out. Yeah. Shelley arranged for him to move across the hall in their fancy apartment complex so that it would be easier for the kids. I do not know how she arranged this. Was she friends with the super? How do you get a free apartment?
It's hard to get an apartment in New York City, right?
It's impossible. Like, someone has to die.
Yeah, it's not a free apartment.
She said free.
No, she didn't say free.
They said free on Dateline.
So my guess is it has something to do with her work, right? She's with Merrill Lynch?
Yes.
So it's something like that.
Yeah, she was doing some
deals. Sort of favor or, it's something. And it probably, what I'm guessing, it was a temporary arrangement.
Gotcha.
That he was there for a year or he was there for 6 to 8 months, something like that.
Until he actually got a job.
Until they found a more suitable living arrangement for him.
Right. So Deborah is our new friend.
Deborah Oles.
Deborah is a lady that he meets at backgammon. Now, before you're thinking she's just a groupie, or what we call in the biz, a backgammon bunny. She played the game too. She loved to play backgammon. She was naive and did not think that Rod would be interested in her romantically because she's considerably older than Rod. To which Andrea goes, yeah, like, and then Deborah cuts her off. But I think she was trying to say what we were all thinking. She's like, yeah, like, how much older are you than him? Or, yeah, I was going to say, that's really weird. Andrea doesn't say, oh, no, you're not older than him. She goes, yeah, like.
Andrea's unfiltered. She's pregnant. She's.
God bless her.
I'm not going to.
Yeah, you are older than him.
And she had some tough interviews in this one. She's got the parents of Rod. Yes. She's
so good. I will say that I thought Deborah looks pretty good for whatever her age is.
Yes.
I thought her skin was nice.
I also thought of Deborah's scream name, which is Backgammon Ma'am.
There you go.
So we have Backgammon Ma'am and Backgammon Ma'am.
But don't you think she could be a backgammon bunny?
Yeah.
And that's like a thing? Do we think there's groupies?
No, I don't think she's groupies. Because when she tells her story to Andrea, that she was like minding her own business, playing her game, never expecting to find love in the world of backgammon.
Right.
Yeah.
What was she expecting to find in the world of backgammon?
Enjoyment, activity, friendship, just fun. She liked the game. She was interested in the game. I like that. I like that she sort of got herself involved in a hobby.
No, I love that. Everyone get yourself a hobby. It's wonderful. Yeah. It makes your life fulfilled.
And I think that she was surprised. And then she was very flattered that this much younger man. Yeah, but we don't know how old she is. And we don't.
Yeah.
It's a mystery. It's a mystery. It's a
whodunit. But if a young guy named Rod is interested in you, and that's going to be flattering. His name's Rod.
Get you some Rod in your life. Oh, that's going to give me indigestion. Like, as I said it.
Speaking of glowing, well-skinned backgammon players.
Yes.
Katie.
Yes.
Where are you on your path with Care Of?
I am delighted with Care Of so far. So as you know, I am on the glow supplement. I have been having some struggles with my hair, skin, and nails. But I can't say that it is 100% the glow that is making my hair grow. But I am saying this. My hair has grown a lot. And I was really excited. Noticeably. And I showed Oliver. And I was like, look how much it's grown. So I'm really hoping it's the glow. Because they're really fun to take. Which sounds so stupid talking about a vitamin. But you agree, right?
I agree. The packaging is super aesthetically pleasing. And then I love the fun things on the little.
I do too. I read them every time. I get excited to read it. Yeah.
Yes. One said, text someone with an emoji you've never used before.
Did you do it?
I'm trying to decide which one I want to text you.
I read one that said, listen to a new genre of music today.
Oh, I love that.
And I thought that was really cute. Yeah.
Did you finally listen to Hamilton?
No, I didn't. No, I'm not doing that without you. Come on. No. But I did listen to classical music. I listened to like a little bit. I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. It told
me
to do it.
That's supposed to be good for your brains. So anyways, you can do the Care Of. You get to take this really fun personalized quiz. It tells you what you might need, what you might be lacking. You can pick exactly what you want to order. It's awesome. They also donate to the Good Plus Foundation, which provides expectant mothers in need with prenatal vitamins, so you can feel like you're doing something good without actually doing anything.
Except taking your vitamins.
Oh, yeah, that's good. No, that's good. And also, the package is so cute. It has these little pull-out. You just pull out the little package.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe it. The way that the box opens that they send to you with your personalized packets in it, it's a box, and you can just slide out your daily dose in its little plastic package. And I moved mine. I had mine in the bathroom. And for 2 days in a row, I forgot to take it. So I moved it by my front door. So now as I'm going out the door, I can take it. I take
That's
the little
so smart.
Slot and I just put it in my purse. And then I'll take it in a few hours when I see it in my purse. It's great.
I'm not making any medical promises, but I think Care Of is making you smarter.
I hope so. Man,
you're also glowing.
Ah!
You glowed up.
Oh, you're all glown up. Instead of you're all grown up.
I get it. Okay. So you can take the quiz and you can find out which vitamins you need to get, and it sends it to you every month. It's a super easy and convenient subscription service. And listeners of our podcast get 50% off their first month of Care of Vitamins if they go to careof.com and enter dateline 50. That's go to careof.com, enter dateline 50. Listen, you won't regret it.
You really won't regret it.
Plus, you're doing something for pregnant women in need. Also, yeah. I think you can log onto their app and win rewards and stuff. Who doesn't love rewards and stuff?
It's a really cool company, you guys. Check it out.
So Deborah and Rod, both glowing with their Care of Vitamins, they hook up. This is like after the separation, correct?
Well, so he'd been...
He'd been cheating, but I don't think with Deborah. Didn't he meet Deborah?
I think that Deborah might have been one of the cheaters.
Oh,
because
I see.
Of something that happens. There's a phone call that happens later that I think Deborah
oh,
is
Oh, no,
in.
You're totally right. Yes.
Deborah is in the picture either at the very, very end or before the end of the marriage Shelley and Rod.
Maybe it was just as a friend, maybe as more. Probably more.
He was probably trying to make it more, even if it hadn't actually happened yet. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So Shelley has a divorce lawyer who kind of looked like Rob Stark to me, but kind of New York Jew Rob Stark. Anyone? No? Remember Rob Stark? Game of Thrones?
Ned Stark?
No. Rob Stark.
Rob.
Ned Stark? No. Rob Stark, oh my goodness. I have nothing for Jon Snow. Jon Snow does absolutely nothing for me. It was Rob Stark all the time for me. And they have the same facial hair, except Rob's is way better. This guy is missing the hair underneath his chin, and I don't know why. So if you want to mark down weird facial hair on your bingo cards, you feel free. Anyways, Shelley was trying to date again. She was on J-Date, which Andrea explains to us very kindly to the Gentiles in the audience who didn't know what J-Date was. I just think J-Date doesn't have enough press, and I think they need a theme song like Farmers Only, and then they maybe more people would know what it was.
Well, okay, guys, here you go. Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match.
Find me a find, catch me a catch. Matchmaker, matchmaker, look through your book and make me a perfect match.
How hard is that? This is a win-win.
Chew it up.
And I will always love you. You do that.
I think so. Have you heard of J-Date besides knowing me and the fact that I was on it once?
You are why I know J-Date.
You hadn't heard of it before that.
Kimberly, can you please regale us with a story about J-Date?
No, because I only met losers on J-Date.
You did, so I'd like to hear about one of them. Pick one.
There was only one, and he canceled our date like 5 times. And I don't think we ever actually went on a date. He's the only one.
Why did he cancel the date?
It was a total bust for me. It was like shady canceling. But what did I do?
What
he
do you
hadn't
mean shady?
Seen me.
Shady like, canceling.
Felt like he was like making it up, and doing it last minute. Like he forgot about it. I think he just forgot.
Married.
Yeah, I bet he was married.
I just figured it out. I'm so excited.
We were supposed to make plans to hang out that night, and I was waiting and waiting for him to text me all day at work. I thought he was supposed to text me so we could make plans. He never did, so I just went home. 3 days later, he wrote me that he was so sorry and wanted to try again.
Married.
And I was like, you married.
Done.
Jay Liar.
Jay Downer. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So Shelley's sister.
Oh, Jay Don't. How'd we miss that? Jay Don't.
I don't get it.
Instead of Jay Date, Jay Don't.
Oh, okay.
Stupid.
Jay Flake. Does Flake rhyme with date?
A little bit. Like, don't. I mean, it's about the same.
Jay didn't date because I didn't go on a date with him.
Jay Hate.
This is why he, Jay Hate. This is why he didn't show up. This conversation is why he didn't show up. I understand now what happened.
That, and he was married with 6 children. So,
yeah.
And his name was Roderick.
Yeah.
It's probably this guy. Was he into backgammon?
I mean, he was deep into a 10th level backgammon tournament. I don't know if there are levels, but it was like
he's
deep.
A 10th level backgammon wizard of the highest
like,
green
I can't
order.
Get away for this date. I'm so sorry.
Do they have robes with like the triangles on it? That would be amazing. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Oh, I'm so into this now. That'd See, all really you had good. To say was robes, and I'm there.
Yeah,
I'm in. I will be a backgammon bunny now. Mm-hmm. I will massage your shoulders and give you sips of water when and like pat your forehead down when it's.
I wonder how long the games are. I should have asked Oliver before he left what how long the like the matches are. Is it called a match? Number one,
right?
Is it a heat? Know. What is it called? What is it called in backgammon?
Great questions.
We got to find some of this stuff out.
I don't think they could last that long. I don't think it's like
I think it's checkers. I think it's more like checkers. Checkers is a little bit faster.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Okay. Shelly's sister thinks it's weird that Shelly was taking a bath because she was a showerer. Now.
Well.
I don't like baths. Right. They gross me out.
Right.
I feel like you're just sitting in your own skin cells.
We've talked about it.
Yeah. But I also don't really like to stand because I'm very lazy. I am Bobby Hill. And so I do have a stool in my shower.
But you don't have gout. Let's be clear about that.
No, but I do have an ankle injury that is ongoing. And so I have a stool in my shower.
Never ending.
Like I am 99 years old.
Yes.
And I can just chill on that seat, shave my legs, whatever. But here's the thing. Shelly had just gotten this keratin treatment. You're not supposed to wash your hair for 72 hours. And it's the Legally Blonde thing. Did you get what they were talking about?
No.
Have you seen Legally Blonde?
Yeah.
Once. Doesn't seem like your kind of movie.
No, I've seen it once. I've seen that and the second one. I've seen them both once.
There is a moment in Legally Blonde where the case is solved.
Because of that, right?
A hair treatment.
Yes.
And but the thing that I don't get is they keep saying, well, she couldn't get her hair wet for 72 hours. If I couldn't get my hair wet, I would be more likely to take a bath.
That is 100% correct. I'm really glad you said it.
You're not supposed to put your hair in a clip usually or a, because I've had my hair straightened. I have Art Garfunkel hair. It is very frizzy. And so I've gotten my hair straightened before. I will be doing it again before CrimeCon in New Orleans.
It's not that frizzy.
I've sent you pictures where
I'm talking to the listeners. Just hold on a second. It's not that frizzy. It's like it gets frizzy if you just do nothing and are out like in a swamp. So yeah, New Orleans is going to be mighty difficult on your head.
Yeah.
But normal days.
B, I'm a frizzer.
But it doesn't get that crazy if there's not extenuating circumstances. And it's only in the front.
It's only in the front. It's
everywhere.
Around the whole brow.
Yeah, it's like a tiny halo. It's like
it's a halo of
curly
frizz.
Halo.
Yeah.
Curls.
Yeah.
Curls.
Curly halo.
Frizz.
But so anyways, when you get your hair straightened, you're not supposed to put rubber bands or clips in it because that'll leave a dent.
But you
could drape the back of your hair over the bathtub outside, I think, and be okay.
Well, here's the deal. She didn't have that long of hair. So, guys, she had like a little bit below her collarbone length hair. So here's what I would have done is you just sort of swoop it up into a shower cap. So you get a shower cap that's tight enough and then it still lays. It just sort of swoops a little bit because her hair isn't that long.
Yeah.
But they kept talking about not wet, moisture. I'm supposed to have moisture around it. And I'm like, well, a bath, if it was really hot.
Oh, does cause steam.
Have
and moisture.
Steam,
which, a shower or a bath gets very steamy.
But you're not going to not bathe for two. I don't think this one. I don't think Shelly is not going to bathe for 2 days. So what I think probably she did is make
she
a lukewarm.
She could do the truck stop bath.
No, I think she did. I think she did a lukewarm bath. I don't think it was hot. I would have liked to have known if they tested the water of the temperature when they came in. I don't think it mattered in this case.
I want to know was there a shower cap?
Was running a bath.
Was her hair wet? Was there a shower cap? Well, her hair was wet because she was in the bathtub, but because if she fell or whatever, but she didn't fall. We all know she didn't fall. But was there a shower cap nearby or a towel draped over the side of the bath where you could rest your hair on it so it would stay dry?
These are good questions.
Yeah. So, but the cops did not think of that. They did think the scene was weird because she had bruising on her lip and she had some scratch marks, but they still didn't insist upon the autopsy, and they didn't fingerprint the bathroom or anything like that.
But did they look at him?
They thought he was weird because he had said he pulled her out of the bathtub to do CPR, but his clothes were totally dry. And he was wearing like a white shirt. It would have been like a wet t-shirt contest if he had actually pulled her out to do a CPR. But they thought that was weird. So they just had suspicion, but they didn't seem to do much with it. And it's kind of annoying. And
but he didn't have like cuts on his face.
I don't think so. But again, I don't think they looked that hard. A couple of the detectives at the scene were like, it's kind of fishy, but not enough to actually do anything with that information. So they just wrote it off as an accident.
Yeah.
And the family was like, oh, that's sad, until they started thinking more about it and thinking it was really weird.
Because I was just wondering if he brews easily.
I got that one. That's very good. That's excellent. Well done. Love that. So the doorman remembered that Rod Stark had stopped by the front desk to get a snack and chatted at him kind of in the middle of the night at like 4 a.m. And apparently that was really weird because he never talked to the front desk doorman, which I think, I know some people have crippling social anxiety or they're very shy, but if you are not nice to doormen or service people, get your act together, Rod.
I don't think it's not being nice. I just don't think he'd ever spent any time talking to the doorman. And it wasn't just that he was talking to him.
He was chit-chatting, and then he got him a freaking Snickers bar.
He got him a Snickers. That was the thing that was, like, the big deal, is that he didn't normally, you know, go out to 7-Eleven real quick.
And say,
like,
can I get you anything? Hey, I'm going to get you something.
I'm grabbing a coffee. Do you want a coffee? Or can I grab you something? Do you need a sandwich or a hot dog or whatever? No. But he comes back all of a sudden this one night with a Snickers.
Again, don't think I'm not going to mention Seinfeld when Jerry took over for the doorman and thought that people were really looking down on him whenever they'd see him reading the paper and ask how the Knicks were. He'd be like, oh, you just assume it's the sports page because I'm a doorman?
Whoa.
Yeah, really funny. Okay, so the family hires a private investigator. It is not, to our knowledge, Marcia Marshburn, unfortunately.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, they really dropped the ball there.
Yeah, they did.
People had been telling them worrying things about the marriage. How Rod would verbally abuse Shelley. He called her company where she worked and said she was on drugs, trying to get her fired. Now, This is the dumbest thing because she is the gravy train. She's making all the money. What is he going to do if she loses her job?
No, I mean, she's the one Shelley got the cash.
Do they just come to you or do you think of them ahead of time?
Oh, it just came to me.
Oh, dear.
Sorry.
So then in their divorce proceedings, they're dealing with custody of the children, and the judge tells Rod, you can no longer play backgammon.
That's correct. You can't do that, though. Can you get a court order?
The court finds that the defendant must not go within 100 yards of a backgammon tournament, any of those park benches where the ladies are playing mahjong, or Jewish senior centers. Or you will be arrested if we see you with one of those little discs, tokens, marbles, those checker. Little pieces.
Checker.
Checker. You will. Is what's that in your pocket, sir? Pull out your pocket. What's that? Is that felt lining in your pocket?
Officer, this is my lucky checker. It was given to me by the man himself. Lucky Scott Skowanovitz gave me this lucky checker when I was 13 and learned how to play backgammon.
This is, I think, when Rod lost it. He was like, don't take away my backgammon.
Yeah, that was a bad idea.
It was.
Because he was on the edge.
He was. It's like telling someone who's on drugs, like, you can no longer have drugs. And he's like, not my backgammon.
Yeah, it's not great.
No. Now, the family finally feels like it was a staged accident. They really feel like Rod is involved. And they have this private investigator. So they decide to exhume her body and do an autopsy. So the medical examiner, they exhume the body. The medical examiner says that she was strangled. The hyoid bone in her neck was broken. Mm-hmm. And investigators fully think it's Rod, but they don't have enough proof until 6 years have passed and they have no new information, but somehow they suddenly feel like they have enough. So they go to court. It was really weird. And then
what do you mean?
Like, they were like, they felt like they didn't have enough until 7 years, 6 years later.
Was that 6 years after the body had been exhumed?
No, 6 years after the murder.
When was the body exhumed?
I don't know.
I think they had enough when the body was exhumed to go. When the medical examiner said, this is the cause of death.
That makes sense.
This is a homicide. Yeah, I don't think they had any other forensic evidence, right?
No, they didn't, because they didn't do any fingerprinting or any DNA or anything at the scene.
So it was like a fully circumcised case. Circumstantial case is what you're trying to say. I told you I had some good ones.
I'm going to piss myself. Oh, that was funny. Okay, well done. So now it's the trial is starting, and we finally get a good look at Roderick in the courtroom. Mm-hmm. Now, what did you think? Were you impressed that the ladies loved some Rod?
I don't know.
I felt like he looked like a villain in an action movie.
He really did.
With maybe a European accent of indeterminate country.
Correct.
And then I realized who it was that I was thinking of. I'll tell you exactly who I thought he looked like, except without the white hair.
Who?
Julian Assange.
No, I don't see that at all.
I'm going to do a side-by-side, just without the white
hair. Are you? Okay.
Oh, I will be.
Did you see his lawyer?
Well, there was...
Not Gottlieb. I'm talking about the other one that looks a little bit like Pee-wee Herman, like Paul Reumans.
Oh my God, someone else put that online too. Did he hire Pee-wee Herman?
I kept getting glimpses of him, and I'm like, is he wearing makeup? I could not figure out what was happening with his face. Possible makeup for the cameras. I don't know, but then I think he also maybe kept catching the camera's eye.
On purpose?
Just giving
a little side twinkle.
I'm going to be honest. It might have been his first day in court. This might have been his first big trial. Yeah. I'm not sure what was going
There's
on
There's cameras.
Pee-wee.
Yeah. Action. I know. Lots of energy.
And we're on.
I got to put a little bit of concealer on.
I'm ready.
Find your light. Find the lens.
It could just be that he just had a face that was like, you can't forget it. Because I can't forget it.
I need to go back because someone else said Pee-wee Herman online. I missed it. I was distracted because Julian Assange is standing there and there's a bailiff. I think it was a bailiff standing behind him laughing hysterically at something that someone else said. And I was like, did someone just tell a fart joke? What are they joking about right while the camera is on them?
Really?
Yes, it was very odd.
That's very strange.
Now, the prosecutor says that Rod wanted the kids and he wanted all of Shelley's money. They bring on the nanny, and she said she was scared of him and that he was physically violent towards Shelley. The nanny was good.
Yeah.
She was just like, you're going down, buddy.
She was.
I'm doing this. I'm putting this man away.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm protecting these babies, and he is going to jail.
That's exactly what the feeling I got. Yeah, protecting my babies. Goodbye. Yeah.
So Shelley's lawyer said that Rod, this was nuts, took the kids to the hospital and accused Shelley of sexually abusing their son so that he could get custody. Diabolical.
Super diabolical. Rod, you're not only... Where do you go in Judaism?
If you don't go to heaven, you go to this this nothing place.
Yeah. You're going to
nothing. It's a
nothing
place that's bad. You're not in heaven.
From Neverending Story, the nothing. That's where you're going, Rod.
Rod was tracking her computer, reading her emails. Super creepy. He was in debt, and he thought he would get her $5 million if she died. Now, here's where the will comes in. So he thought, I'm in the will. I'll get the $5 million. But then she had reached out to an attorney saying she wanted to change her will a couple days before she died. This is the mistake. Here's your date with Dateline advice. This is what you have to do. I told it to Mank, remember, when we interviewed him, and he thought it was a pretty good idea. He might have been just appeasing me. I don't know why he would do that, but...
I'm not going to say.
He was pitying me.
I'm not going to say.
He didn't think it was... I know it. But I think it's a good idea. Here's step one. You extremely vocally make it known that you are giving all your money to charity. You tell everyone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You tell the, you go, I want a Starbucks Frappuccino. My name's Kimberly with an X. And also I'm giving all my money to charity. Like, you tell everyone. So that's what's known. And then no one will kill you. And then when you die, everyone that you left money to is pleasantly surprised because they thought you were giving it all to charity. So it's a win-win. Going hand in hand with this is if you're going to change your will and take money away from someone, you do that under the cover of darkness. You buy a burner phone for both you and your lawyer. Mm-hmm. You go to a private server email account. You are underground until that will is finalized. And then you go to step one and tell everyone.
But he only knew about it because he was tracking her email, which she didn't know.
She did not know she was being hacked. This is what I'm saying.
You so gotta you preemptively. Say you don't even take that.
You don't even.
She thought she was being.
She thought she was being smart. No,
but she wasn't.
But you gotta buy a second computer. You go to the library.
Yeah.
You get a second Gmail account just for talking to this lawyer that no one knows the password to.
Yeah.
And then you also have to burn all old copies of the will and make sure the new one is like public. You make it from a secure server and it's out there. Everyone can see it. Because then, you know, in these movies, someone like Uncle Joe will come forward and be like, I have this old document from the will and it leaves everything to me. Mm-hmm. Which one's the new will? You got to make it all really clear. Now, Shelley was very nervous and she felt like Rod was following her. She went home this night on New Year's Eve. She went on to J-Date. Rod was across the hall playing backgammon online.
Mm-hmm.
So at 1 a.m., his online backgammon presence, he has an online presence. It's all about backgammon. Does he have an Instagram handle? And it's...
Yes, it's backgammon83.
No, I don't think it is. I think it's backgammon bro or something like that. I really do.
Backgammond?
Sorry,
like
he's
maybe
French?
He's like, no, he's trying to pretend like, oh, I'm also a cook.
Oh, a gourmand.
Yeah, gourmand? Like he's a gourmand. Like, yeah, he's a foodie and he plays backgammon. He's a well-rounded man. Like, maybe he's trying to do something clever.
Is there a way to mix the martial arts that he liked?
Yeah, and the I'm thinking about that, too. I'm trying to think, like, how...
Kick it up a notch across the board. Like
backhanded gammon. Hold on, hold on. We're going to get there. Keep going. I'll think of it.
I've never seen you look so intent.
I've been trying to do something with backgammon for a while. It's really a hard one to do something with. And the thing that's going to bother me is that somebody's going to come up with something wonderful on Twitter.
Yeah.
And it's just going to ruin my week.
I know.
It's not going to ruin it.
I could not tell you, but I feel like I must.
You should tell me because it makes me want to be better. But the thing is, I have been trying with backgammon for many hours. And I have not. I even enlisted Oliver and I don't cheat. And I said, can you think of anything with backgammon? And he's came up with, I don't even know, crackgammon. I don't remember what it is.
Oh, Oliver.
No, he's got good intentions, and he at least knew how to play backgammon. So we're going to give him points for that.
So at 1 a.m., Roderick's online presence stops. At 4 a.m., he chats with the doorman.
Snickers.
Kind of trying to, and gives him a Snickers, trying to make this sort of alibi. We meet the medical examiner, who I thought had a lovely accent. I really enjoyed it.
British.
But delicate British, like a lilt. I liked it. In another sinister twist, 3 years after Shelley's death. Now, this is when Rod kind of maybe thinks the police are onto him, but they have made no plans to arrest him. He writes an email from their now 12-year-old daughter, Anna, from her email, pretending to be her, confessing to killing the mom. This is shocking. It has only happened on several, like two datelines that I can think of, where a parent has tried to blame a murder on their child.
You're a real piece of garbage.
Yeah. You are back garbage. That didn't make sense. Backgammon, back gar.
You should have gone for something with Rod.
You're a real tool, Rod.
I have some hatred towards you.
There, see, it's just you can do it, and I can't. Oh, I hate Rod myself. So,
no,
he sent this email that was saying, like, I didn't mean to push her, I pushed her.
I can't,
it
even.
Was, I lied, and I didn't mean to, and I'm so sorry. Now, she would have been 9 at the time. He's trying to say this 9-year-old girl killed the mom in the shower by pushing her, and somehow it broke the bone in her neck. Okay. He's a just a pile. He's a bag of wieners. Bag of wieners is too generous. Too generous for him.
How'd they find that?
He left it out or printed it, something, and they, I think the Dateline producer said online was on the back. There was a transfer, an accidental transfer, written backgammon scores. And that's how they knew that he had done it. Yeah, isn't that nuts?
Oh my gosh. No, because you know,
how they knew it was him.
My other thought was
backgammon
is that
gets him in trouble every time. And somehow the prosecutors don't get that into trial, which is just, I don't get it. But then we are all is forgotten because we get to see Deborah take the stand with a scarf and with giant sunglasses in the courtroom.
You mean dressed as Jackie Onassis?
She is pulling a Jackie O. Uh-huh. And for some reason, well, this is weird. It's like everyone was online was like, how did they allow that? And then Dateline producer said that at some point the judge did ask her to take off her sunglasses.
But we see that because we do see her without them. But yes, for a lot of it, we see her.
But that's what I'm saying. He seemed to let her go for quite a bit with the glasses on before he asked her to take them off.
What did you think?
Well, one person on Twitter goes, you guys, maybe she has migraines or light sensitivity issues.
Oh, that was a good point, because I honestly did think that maybe there was a medical condition. Did you not think that? I
no,
thought that for
it
a
did
second.
Not even occur to me.
I also thought, now I just watched this episode of Veep where she has oculoplasty, and I also thought that. I was like, oh, maybe she got her eyelids done.
There you go. So you think she gets work done.
I think if you have money in New York, I think you're probably getting work done. I think it's a rarity if you're not.
But and Deborah good, is good not from New York. Deborah lives in the South, I think we need to point out, which is even crazier because she would drive to New York to take him to backgammon games. So if you're telling me she was not enjoying his Becky's protege, you don't drive that far to take someone to a backgammon game. That's crazy. She did not live in New York. She lived like states away.
She was getting the rod.
So she's wearing the sunglasses. I do not think it is a medical issue. If it is, apologies.
Yeah, apologies.
Deborah thought that
he was embarrassed.
I kind of thought she was trying to maybe act like she was scared of him. Like she didn't want to look at him.
I think that's like that. Definitely it. I'm sure that she didn't want to look at him.
Yeah.
I'd be nervous.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Well,
here's the thing. I 100% believe in some of the things that Deborah's saying. Mm-hmm. Some of them. I don't think she seems 100% accurate. And some of the stuff she says sounds a little off and does not make sense to me. Mm-hmm. But I do believe her that Rod is a bad, scary guy. But I believe.
Okay, so you're going to go into the testimony? Because I'm curious about what you found.
Okay, so Deborah said she thought he was innocent. She thought he was so nice. But then over time, she saw his anger start to come out. And it would be like a switch was flipped.
But what did she call it?
I can't remember.
She said mercurial.
Oh, yes, she did say mercurial. That? Yes, I was impressed. Okay, Rod and his kids are living with his parents. Again, he doesn't have a job. And one time, Deborah saw Rod push and shove his dad across the room, and the dad hit his head. I believe this happened. I think it's possible. What do you think?
So I'm going to give you a little bit of outside information. There is, if you Google Rod's name, it will, which I think is Colvin, Rod Colvin, something like that. There is a video that you can find. It's a recording of him and his parents fighting. About money and stuff. And they're fighting really bad. So I do think it's possible. The funny thing is the parents are really hot and he's kind of calm in the recording.
Oh, in the audio.
But it's a little scary calm. Like it's a little
creepy.
Yeah. But the dad is shouting. And the mom is shouting over the top of the dad.
Yeah, we'll get to the parents.
Yeah, we'll get to the parents. It's interesting that they are interviewed in this episode. I will say that this episode has surprising interviews.
Yeah.
That was a surprise
to me. They are half-heartedly defending their son. in that they
the
go.
The mom is. No, the mom's defending her son.
And then the dad's like, I don't know. It's a conundrum.
The dad is kind of
what
fabulous.
What are you going to do?
I have feelings about the dad. He reminds me of someone.
Okay.
So I like the dad.
But do you think I could go, Papa, can I push you?
Papa, can
does that work at all?
Yeah, it definitely works. Good
okay,
job.
Good. So eventually Rod's parents kicked him out and kept the kids.
Yeah.
That's what a loser he was. That the parents were like, no more. You have to leave, but the kids can stay with us.
So I'm going to give you even more outside information. There's another video. And this time it's a video, not just an audio recording. It's a video of him trying to get in the house after he's been locked out. And Deborah's filming it. Because you hear her going, did they change the locks? Did they change the locks? And he's like running around the
Deborah,
house trying to get in.
Deborah, why are you there all the time?
And she's like, what if they call the police? And he's like, they're not going to call the police. I'm a resident.
Why is Deborah there?
I don't know.
Why is she recording?
But it made me upset at Deborah. And it made me, during her whole interview, I was suspicious. And then when I saw that, I was like, oh no, you were like fully going along
instigating
with parts of this.
Yeah. That's what's weird.
You were helping out.
She was, I think, excited by the drama. That's why I'm not 100% sure I buy of how scared she was. I think part of her seemed to really enjoy this relationship or was into him being a bad boy. But could be really offensive if she was being like emotionally abused or she was really scared and just staying with him because she was scared. But I just didn't get that vibe. I got the vibe like, you don't have to stay with him. Like, you're not married to him. You don't live in a different state. You can leave at any time.
I would like to see a longer interview with her because I feel like we can't get a full vibe picture in, like, the 7 minutes total we have
right.
of her. We need more time kind of figure out what's up.
Yeah. Now, Deborah said he started to plan how to kill his parents. He was wondering all the time, how can I do it? He was going to start a fire at their house and kill them and then somehow rescue the children. And Deborah talks him out of it. Then he wanted Anna, the daughter, to put rat poison in the grandparents' food.
Wow.
Yeah. And Deborah doesn't break up with him, and Andrea doesn't understand. And she says, again, this is where you would say, I was so scared he would kill me. But she doesn't say that. She says, I felt like I was the voice of reason stopping him from killing people. So I had to stay with him.
He was actively trying to kill his parents.
Yeah, and so I had to be there to stop him. You know how else you could stop him? Is go to the police. You could record him because you obviously know how to do that.
Yeah, why didn't you
record him talking about wanting to kill his parents and show it to the police? He will be arrested that day. Mm-hmm. They already think he tried to kill his wife.
Yeah.
They would arrest him in a second. And then they start living together. When he gets kicked out of the parents' house.
Yeah, that was the thing.
They get a place together.
They get an apartment together.
And she knew he actively wanted to kill people. And she has a place with him. Now, again, I don't want to say if you're a victim of domestic violence, I know it's hard to leave. But if there are old, elderly people that might be in danger of being murdered or children that might be accidentally harmed in the murdering, you got to just call the police. I can't with Deborah. So Deborah says that one day she's just like adamantly refusing. This was like an ongoing thing. Like he would nag her, help me kill my parents. Help me kill my parents. She's always like, no, no. And finally one day she's like, no, why should I? If I help you kill your parents, you're just going to kill me. And then he laughed and he said, no, I only want to kill the people who take my kids away. And that was her light bulb moment where she's like, I'm starting to think he really does want to kill someone.
Wow.
Deborah. And here's where I realized that Deborah was also the name of the mom in Dirty John, who also saw 5 million red flags.
Yeah.
So this is where I'm starting to wonder, like, is Deborah really scared of him or is she just really enjoying sleeping with this younger guy?
Yeah.
Finally, Deborah breaks up with him and goes to the police.
Mm.
And Andrea's asking the parents, what do you think about all this? Rod's parents. And they're laughing. They find it laughable that he was abusive or that he pushed the dad or any.
Yeah.
But they kicked him out of the house.
They did.
And kept the grandchildren.
And they're yelling about the children. They're yelling about him spending the college fund of the son and him like trying to like him not working all of it. They're like, you, the mom's like, you haven't worked in 5 years. Yeah.
Put down the backgammon and be a father.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess their defense would be, which is the lawyer's defense, which is he can be the worst dad. He can be the biggest douchebag. It doesn't make him a murderer. That's the classic defense that his attorney does. He might be, he goes so far as to say, you might even not want to look at him. Like, he might be so repugnant to you that you can't even look at him in court, but that doesn't make him a murderer. If that's what your lawyer says about you, imagine what your enemies say about you.
Right.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watching on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Now, the defense attorney was already a slime ball because he says that we shouldn't believe that Deborah was telling the truth because she was wanting to get back at Rod for breaking up with her because he's such a catch. This unemployed widow who plays online games and has been kicked out of his parents' house.
I do feel
he's a like wanker.
I feel like it's strange that she didn't go to the police until after they broke up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. I really do believe some of the stuff she's saying, mm-hmm. but I just, her delivery and some of her logic, like the fact that she felt like she had to stay with him to prevent these people from being murdered. What if one day she couldn't convince him to not do it? Go to the police.
It doesn't ring true.
But at the same time, I believe that he's plotting to kill his parents. I can totally buy that.
Absolutely agree. The parts of it that don't ring true are her emotions surrounding these things.
Yes.
Those are the things that are sort of like,
yeah.
But that's not a normal reaction.
Right.
To this. Now, I can't, but again, I see what you're saying is you can't base that if she was being emotionally abused.
Right, if
she
it's
might
a victim's
have,
mentality, it's a totally different situation.
You might not have that kind of a reaction, but it is difficult with the time we're getting to spend with her to see how her thinking led her to just stay with him and get in the apartment with him.
Yeah.
That's a kind of a Laska to be asking of us.
Yeah. So the defense attorney, I can't even look at him now. I find him so repugnant.
Gottlieb.
Is that his name?
Gottlieb.
He thinks that whatever injuries were on Shelley's body were actually caused by exhuming her body by the back hose and shovels that they used. I was shooketh. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Does he know her body was in a coffin? Does he think coffins are made of tissue paper?
Mm-hmm.
Does he think the backhoe driver was maybe drunk and just pushed it down too hard and it crushed the lid of the coffin and broke the neck bone, but then the coffin sprung back into shape like a marshmallow and there was no damage to the coffin?
Yeah.
Does he think that we are that dumb?
It's pretty bad.
Have you ever heard such a theory? I was a god.
Yeah, I feel like I have heard such a theory. But also, I'm a little confused because I don't really understand if there's no embalming happening. If you're not preserving the body at all, how are they seeing scratches, period?
That's a great point. Well, they saw the scratches originally.
Right,
which makes no sense because if they saw them originally, they wouldn't be there when she was exhumed. I mean, they were there before when she was killed. They were not there. They would have happened late. Do you
it's
see what
not
I'm saying?
Like a scratch on a bone. like that wouldn't.
No, right. No, there were scratches on her at the scene when she was just dead. So he thinks just
the backhoe just broke her neck.
The backhoe, somehow the guy was like texting and driving, and backhoeing. And
he was backgamming.
He was playing backgammon on his phone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the backhoe crushed through the thick wood of the coffin and hit her directly in the neck. Not enough to chop her head off, as you might think, but just to lightly crack that one delicate bone in your neck that gets broken when you're strangled. And then somehow there was no reported damage to the coffin, though. What? I don't.
Wonder of wonder, miracles of miracles. God took a tailor by the hand, smashed that backhoe into the coffin.
I've never heard of such a dumb story in my life. Okay, so now Rod's parents are so in denial, but I kind of think they're faking the denial, that they know he's a bad guy. They saw him push the dad across the room. They had to kick him out of the house. They fought with him. I think they're faking it now for appearances, or because that's what parents do. They try to defend their child.
Right.
That's kind of what I think. Now, the defense says that the police never swabbed for fingerprints, and the defense lawyer says it is disgraceful. I say, I find your personality disgraceful, and I find your backhoe story disgraceful. I said good day, sir.
I said good day.
The defense rests without calling any witnesses.
Well.
And Andrea calls it a bold move. I said good day.
I said good day, Gottlieb.
No. The jury finds him guilty. Shelley's family is thrilled. One of them, the friend, I think it's the friend, that they exit the courtroom and she's like screams, finally. And then she like sees that she's been too loud. It's like my every day of my life where I say something too loud and then I go, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. That was basically her.
It's you and the pointing, really. It's it's the point. Like a toddler. Put your finger down. Do you see that? And your hand just goes up. Like, it's like every time and I have to like grab it. Put it down.
I did it at that wedding too and Oliver kept pulling my hand down.
Don't point.
I was obsessed with that one relative.
Yeah, you can't do that.
He was awesome. He was straight up Sopranos. Were
full out point. You think people can't see that?
I don't think they can see it.
Why is that girl talking about me? I wasn't talking about you. You were pointing at me.
I think it's very subtle.
Oh my goodness.
I think it's sly.
I think you think you're invisible.
Maybe. So the kids are now living with Rod's parents, which is sucks. And they're teenagers now. Because it's Rod's family and they don't think he did it. So they have now separated them from Shelley's family. They don't spend any time with Shelley's family. And I think that's really hard for the sister, if she cares, which we were not sure, but we think it's just her personality.
I think it's just she's not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's sad. These families are divided and kids have chosen the dad because they lived with him for longer and...
Yeah.
They believe what he said and they believe what the grandparents said. And that stinks.
The daughter does. We don't know about the son.
We don't know about the son. Do you have outside information about the son?
I don't. I wish I did. I'm sorry.
Okay. I have nothing. I have no B-roll bonanza.
You have no B-roll bonanza?
Yeah. I must be
missing. How's that possible?
I don't know.
We see New York City. We see them walking. There's lots of... The parents are walking around a lot, which I think is what you do. We get to see the fancy New York suburb neighborhood, which I'm fascinated by because I've never lived on the East Coast, so I like to see those places. And I think they had a really big, pretty house.
Definitely. Yeah. The parents?
The parents.
Yeah. We got to see Times Square.
And then I got to see her whole apartment because there's a video, for some reason, walkthrough of the two-bedroom apartment that Shelley and Anna lived in.
I bet it was nice. Wait, the son didn't live there?
Yeah, that was weird. It's a two-bedroom apartment. They kept saying, they said two-bedroom apartment in the thing, and I was trying to figure it out. Did the son live with Rod?
No, they had joint custody. They would, walk the kids back and forth, I thought, across the hall. Maybe the son did live with the dad.
But maybe the son lived with Rod, and she lived with the mom.
They did say that Anna had to let in Rod that morning when she found her mom in the bathtub.
Which is horrifying.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
I'm really hoping that's not how that happened. I'm hoping it's awful that he killed her mom anyways, but I'm hoping that he was already in the apartment and told her to say that. I don't know if she'd be able to keep that story straight.
If you go back and listen to Secrets of Pleasant Grove,
yeah,
there is a part where the child is legitimately part of the plan. The child finding the mother's body is part of the plan. It's sick.
Man, that's terrible.
Like, that image is in that child's head forever, and you planned it that way. That's gross.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah. Quotes, was it a fall in the tub or a husband's fall from grace?
Oh, boy.
That was Lester. I love
a
Lester
that.
Quote.
That was
we don't
good
always
Lester.
Get a Lester quote. And then what was that one? She said mercurial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was good.
That was just a word. I just liked it.
I liked the sister and the brother-in-law. I didn't, and I liked her divorce Rob Stark person. I have not had a loser this strongly in a long time as I did for that defense lawyer.
Wow.
I feel like it felt good. It felt like running into a friend that you haven't seen in a long time. I bumped into my hatred of
Yay,
a slimy attorney
hatred
that I had not seen in many years, and they had aged well, and it was great to see. It was like no time had passed, and my hatred of this slime ball attorney was reignited, and ye old acquaintance be forgot something.
I just
brought
need
back
you
together.
I need you to see the assistant. I need you to see the slime ball assistant, a slime ball
That's
in training.
That's the Pee-wee.
Yeah.
Pee-wee's Playhouse.
S-B-I-T. Spit.
Okay. Spit, slime not ball spits?
Spit. Slime ball in training.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. I need you to check him out.
I wasn't aware that was the acronym.
It's not. I made it up just now.
Okay.
Now it is. It is as of moving copyright
this
today.
This defense attorney gave me the feels that I have when I'm watching anyone from Manitowoc County talk.
Oh, I see. And yeah, that's strong.
This, like, strong, burning anger of wanting to slap him across the face.
Mm.
Yeah.
Violent.
Yeah.
You have rod rage.
Yeah. So good. I don't know how you do it.
Rod rage.
I don't know how you do it.
Okay. I hear that.
Okay. Thank you.
I hear what you're saying about the attorney. I get it.
Thank you.
He
it
was
really
he was a piece of garbage.
The exhuming thing. Like, really
yeah,
got
that
me.
Was rough.
The shovels broke her neck.
Yeah.
You don't keep pounding into the coffin with your shovels. You just get to the dirt, and you get to the coffin, and then you stop. And then you lift out the coffin. What is he thinking they're doing? Like, pounding on the coffin with their shovels? Breaking
really,
the wood?
He was really grasping.
Am I missing
pretty,
something?
No. Well, you know, the mom was also not great about how she had supposedly fallen. And Andrea said, but she, her face.
Yeah.
How and did she like, get the cuts on her face? And she's like,
depends.
I don't know what was in the tub.
What was in the tub, yeah. And if you fell
like
on
what,
your
a razor
neck.
Blade?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
What,
yeah.
What's in the tub?
A rubber ducky with a very sharp tail. What
yeah,
is a loofah that's brand new? Those can be kind of rough.
That's still in the plastic, so it's like
yeah.
paper cuts. All
right.
What's happening? It's
I don't,
really
and
weird.
And then you fall exactly on your neck bone.
Right.
Okay.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's really, and the, yeah.
But then they
And the daughter
to
didn't
the,
hear it. And the daughter didn't
true.
Hear her slip in the tub.
Right.
And do this huge fall. That's
right.
All weird, too. How did the apartment's not that big.
And
I will say that much.
So much blood in the tub. It was
yeah,
like red.
You're right.
Why would there be all that blood?
It's very strange.
It's very strange. And then the dad is like, I don't know. That's a conundrum. Like,
I know. The dad kind of doesn't know what happened, but the mom is like, he didn't do it. But the dad?
Yeah, I think the dad is literally faking it to keep his marriage together. Brand's unhappy being on Dateline and are now associated with murder. Jews?
Oh, no.
My
I
people?
Think Jews... I think your people came off okay.
I was, you guys, we did a good job. We held it together.
Good job, Andrea. I feel like
job,
Andrea
Jews.
Played a big part
good
in
job,
that.
Good job, Andrea. We we didn't make a fool of ourselves.
Absolutely not. No. Which is less than we can say about this podcast. What
yeah,
about Backgammon?
Totally
what about
true. I am making a fool of the Jewish people every time we are on the air.
No, you're not. You're doing good.
Merida.
Backgammon. I was right there with you. I had no idea. I started it. The red
haired
girl from Brave.
One person on Twitter, one lone person said, you know what? You guys are in that age range where this was passed when you were a kid and you guys don't have children, so I think it's totally acceptable that you don't know the names. Oh, one person. Nice. Everyone else, just vitriol.
Thank you, non-Linda, whoever mm-hmm. that is that said mm-hmm. that. Yeah. That was kind.
Yeah, very kind.
I think that the brand of backgammon is really tarnished.
Man,
I think
that's all I'm going to think about is murder now.
No, Gridgammon is going to, their membership's just going to drop. Mm-hmm. So they need
But do you think there's a crossover between people who play backgammon and watch Dateline?
Absolutely. Are okay. you kidding me?
Okay.
I don't think any of those people listen to this podcast, but
they
watch
Dateline.
For sure.
I think they might watch like 48 hours, to be honest.
I think they watch all of them. I think they set the timer for Dateline, 48 hours, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
The trifecta.
Mm-hmm. And ID Network.
I don't think they do. I don't think they're there. I think they're main station shows.
Oh, interesting.
So I think you're looking at your big ABC, NBC, CBS. Like, you have to look at those shows.
They are watching a lot of their Hannibal DVDs and their Supernatural on Hulu over and over again. They're really shipping Supernatural.
You don't think
Hannibal.
They're into more classic, like Twilight Zone? I'm thinking of an older demographic here.
I can see that.
Okay, anything else that Times Square?
Yeah, New York.
The Upper West Side.
Merrill Lynch. Did they have a good reputation
Merrill
already?
Merrill Lynch. I don't know. Reputation? I wish I knew more about that. You know, I love those financial movies.
Fashion Police?
Yes, Mom. Loved it.
Which, the mom, the hair?
Mom, Roderick's mom. Yeah. I gotta say, I loved her whole style. Yeah. I thought she was fantastic. I just love that older New York woman.
Yeah. Andrea at one point is wearing white, and she's like literally glowing. Like the light is shining off her hair like a halo, and I can't with her.
And the rest of us have to take glow pills. I get it.
What was with the weird, like, camo windbreaker?
There we go. So this is also what he's wearing in the video that I watched when he's going to try to get into the house after they change the locks. That same windbreaker.
So it's his favorite.
Okay, so that's his jacket.
It's his lucky jacket. It's and like the Fonz with his leather jacket.
It looks like camo. It's faces.
What?
Yeah, so in the video that I was watching, it's like women's faces.
What?
Black and white pictures.
No.
It's like art stuff.
No.
It's not camo, but I think it's like cleverly done in a way that it looks like camo from a distance. And then you get closer up and I'm going to try to send you this video so you can see it and to get a screenshot of it. Because
why are women dating this man? Deborah, walk away. You can do better. Okay, now it's time for the most painful part of this, which is titles, because I have nothing. I don't think I have a single thing that works.
Let's hear them.
Liars Club.
One. Okay, that's not bad. I was trying to do something with Out of the Pan into the Friars Club. If we can get somewhere with that, I'd be excited. But I couldn't get anywhere. So
gotcha. I was trying to do something with backhoe and backgammon.
Yeah.
Get your backhoe out of my backgammon. I couldn't
that's
get there.
Bad.
And I wanted so hard to get Fiddler on the Roof somewhere in there. I got nothing.
We got three songs in this
Papa,
episode,
Can I Push
though.
You? And that's all.
And so that's Yentl. That's Yentl. There we go. Yenta is in Fiddler.
Okay. Yenta is women who like to gossip.
And it is also the matchmaker in Fiddler.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. We got songs in here. I'll put them in. It's no Bolton, but it's good.
You know, we could have done like some Neil Diamond. There's some Jewish performers we could have gotten in there somehow.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Not that many, but.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, I can't really think of any off the top of my head besides Neil Diamond. I know that's going to get me in trouble. I got to go through Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song and think of all the Jews.
You might need to do that real fast, like right now.
Yeah,
while we're recording.
Art Garfunkel.
Okay. What about Will They? No, they won't. I don't know. I was doing something with the will.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's
yeah.
Not
see,
good,
when
really,
you have to explain it, it's not as good.
It's not. So my really only good title is A Torrible Tragedy.
I like it. I approve.
Thank you.
Stamp of approval.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like it. I'll go for that. Mm-hmm. Maybe if I provided you with a list of Jewish words.
You didn't need to. I looked them all up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I spent some time.
Okay.
But you missed my, it's a laksa to be asking. You flew right by it. You missed it.
Yeah.
And then I did add other one that I didn't use, which was, he's pretty Torah up. but I didn't get that.
That's funny.
I tried. Mm-hmm. I couldn't work it in. But I was very proud
of Schmier?
A Torrible Tragedy. Oh, it's a Schmier campaign?
Yeah, it's a Schmier campaign.
Uh-huh. We could have worked that.
Yeah.
Do we do your people proud?
I mean, I feel like the bar was set pretty high. And I don't know if we attained it. I'm just going to be honest. But then I think, you know what? F that. Every other episode has Christians, and Katie doesn't feel the pressure to do her people proud. So no. Why should I give a rooty tooty, fresh and fruity breakfast about that? I don't.
Did Twitter do all right?
Twitter did great.
Okay, what did Twitter do?
Twitter was on Friars Club.
Great.
Is that what you were going for? Like a fire? Friars? The Friar Festival?
Because it's out of the... Oh,
the Friar Festival? Could that
you
work?
Could have just gone with Friar, and you just pick one of them, and you just keep going.
Yeah.
That's the easy way to do it.
I know.
But then you get stuck on backgammon, and it's rough.
Backgammon is so hard.
Backgammon is not... Because gammon is
get
hard.
Off my backgammon. Okay, let's go to Twitter before we just go off the rails completely. Gary Georgievich. The only winner in this story is the doorman who got a free Snickers bar.
Was he satisfied? I doubt it. That was terrible. I was mad. I was like, Snickers are... I'm not a fan of Snickers, though.
Maybe he asked for one specifically.
Snickers is the candy bar that makes me want more candy.
That's the opposite of how they pitch it. They pitch it like, because of the peanuts, it gives you energy, and then you're satisfied. You don't want more.
With a Snickers bar, you better be buying the fun size in the baggie. Mm. Because you're going to eat one and you're going to want a couple more. But if you eat just one Snickers bar, it's gone. And then what do you have? Nothing.
Nikki Bay for life. Moral of the story, don't be a D-bag to your doorman. Right?
Yeah, there we go.
Rose, you say, says to Andrea, your hair looks great here. Keratin? I know it's not an appropriate time. The poor parents. And Andrea wrote back, blowout.
Love you, Andrea.
We love That's Andrea. Great. Rayford512 said, who else had to Google keratin treatment? And the responses were only the guys, only the men, only the dudes. They didn't know. I think that's fine that they didn't know.
Keratin is the one that smells really bad?
No, that's the Brazilian.
Mm.
I don't think keratin is as bad for you as I think keratin might be okay for you. The Brazilian is the kind where everyone around you is wearing a mask while they're putting it on your hair and they don't give you a mask.
But it really works, right?
Yes, but your eyes are watering like you're full on, like you're chopping an onion.
I came with you to that? Which one did I come with you to?
I've done it twice. I did it before your wedding and they had to leave all the windows and doors open in the salon and the lady next to me was complaining and they were all put masks on. I had tears running down my face because the odor is so strong and I'm like, what is this doing to my body?
But the you things did it years I do for ago. Katie.
I had done it several times.
And you
came to me one time. Yeah, you came with me one time when I did it.
And we'll be doing it again. You'll be doing it before Crime Con.
Yes, I will.
So you will be giving a false version of your hair.
Yeah, I don't want people to see what I really look like.
That I will be wearing a wig.
Okay, that's fine.
Great.
I'm going to wear a fake face.
I already said I'm getting a whole new face for Crime Con. It's going to be a magical thing.
Okay.
Get ready. Get ready,
buddy. Stacey22, is that attorney looking for a sugar mama, asking for a friend? She thinks Rob Stark is handsome.
Which attorney?
The divorce attorney. Ladies liked the divorce attorney.
Okay. I have to go back and look. I don't know why I didn't pick up on it.
Maybe you were thrown by his facial hair. Becca Bird. I think Deborah needs the keratin treatment.
Deborah's hair looked pretty good. What are we talking about?
The color was a little blonde. That lady who was in jail with Marjorie.
It is not. It's the lighting in there. It wasn't. It was fine. I thought her hair was particularly okay.
Okay. Particularly okay is strong.
For Dateline, I was like, that's all right.
Yeah. No, it's okay. You're a lamb. Retweet if, for just one second, you thought her complaint about Rod's cheating referred to him cheating at backgammon. And Katie the human wrote, okay, well, I feel less stupid now.
They did do it right after each other. That was funny.
Alyssa speak. Let he who hasn't forged relationships in the backgammon community be the first to cast stones.
That's amazing. It is sort of like that.
Yeah. Rochelle Pavelko. Can you imagine having a backgammon intervention with your loved one?
No. And that's what he had to have.
Do you think that show Intervention will have a whole separate series for people who are addicted to backgammon and then chess and then Mario Kart?
And I wish they would. I can't handle. Oh my god, that'd be amazing. I can't stop buying shears.
Reality Doc, I now suspect backgammon is a euphemism for something fun, right? Like, it has to be. Maybe it is. Maybe the whole time it wasn't about... Wouldn't that make more sense if it was not ever about backgammon?
What would it be about?
Bounce-a-ga-bow-bow. Or drugs.
Backdoor gammon?
There you go.
They call me backdoor gammon.
There you go.
Sorry.
Keisler Soze, they say backgammon is a gateway drug to Kismet and possibly even Yahtzee. Flutie's girl said, once you hit Parcheesi, it's too late.
Oh, no.
I Heart Goat said, that windbreaker, official backgammon uniform?
What is up? See, we got to find that windbreaker. I'm going to find it.
Like, I thought it could be an official, like he got sponsored. Like, you know, when Peggy plays Boggle and her jacket is like, has certain patches from local companies on it.
Why is he wearing it so much?
I don't know.
And he's wearing it in this video around the, I'm going to find you the video so you can post it.
Yeah.
Of him wandering around the house trying to get in and her being like, what's going on? But you can't, you also don't see her. You only hear her and you know she's holding the phone. And he's wearing medium blue denim.
Yeah, I don't like medium blue denim.
Yeah, you know how I feel about medium blue denim.
No. Dana San 88, any judge that prohibits backgammon should be removed from the bench. Hate the player, not the game. Nikki Bay for Life, who knew backgammon got the juices flowing like this? And George Lynn said, about to hit up the bingo hall. See what's up.
Love bingo.
Maybe it's all a euphemism. It's all a cover for like swingers clubs. And we just don't know.
The grid gammon is. And it's maybe. Actually like a grid of people.
There you go. Fredo Leora Lamb says, this episode is so Jewish.
What does that mean?
It's true though. My cousin wrote me going, there's a really Jewish episode on. I can't wait to hear you
what
guys
cover it.
What does
that mean?
It's finally about Jews. I don't know.
But they didn't ever refer to her as a Jewess. And I was expecting that. Because remember when we were watching that Law and Order like 10 years ago?
And they said
Jewess. And they kept saying, she's a Jewess. And I like turned and looked at you. And I got really excited because it's the first time I'd ever heard that term.
I've called myself a Jewess.
Was that your name on J-Date?
No. Because that would be everyone's name on J-Date then.
Jewess Kimbo?
No.
Jewess Toba?
No.
Toba Jewess?
No. No one knows why you're calling me that. Has that ever been in the podcast?
Mm-hmm.
So only hardcore listeners.
So if people don't remember, Kimberly's Hebrew name is Toba.
Yeah.
I should have announced that at the beginning because I think I called it you that in the first 2 minutes.
Well, yeah, and people were so confused they just turned it off. I don't know what they're talking. Linda was like, I don't know what Toba means. And then
at
she
this point, this
off.
Episode is a two-parter. Who's Toba? I don't want to guess. Goodbye.
Goodbye. I don't have time for this. Ian on Twitter said, a Jewish dateline. It's Kimberly's time to shine.
It is your time. See, pressure.
I know. That was the pressure. Thanks,
that's why
Ian.
You texted me.
Come on.
That's why you texted and were like, you need to come up with Jew. It was urgent. The message was like, might as well have had like, the upside down exclamation point and then forward exclamation point saying you need
wait,
to find
the forward
Jewish
exclamation book. Point and are you saying this like the Spanish way?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It would have made more emphasis. I always felt like that made so much more emphasis when they have the upside down exclamation point and then ¿cómo te llamas? And then the normal exclamation point.
¿Dónde está la biblioteca?
Yes. Yeah, that makes the most emphasis to me. At the beginning and at the end, like, lets you know it's urgent.
Oh my God.
Like, F the red pen. That's what you need. Double exclamation point. One at the beginning, one at the end, one inverted.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that's amazing. I know we don't have time for mailbox, but I have to say one thing or I will be literally, I think, murdered. Aaliyah.
You have to say datelined now.
Oh, I will be datelined.
Yeah.
Okay. Aaliyah has been writing to me for 2 weeks now saying she wants to talk makeup with you. If you ever want to talk makeup, she's
wanna,
the one
like,
who sent
on
us all that makeup.
Oh, I will definitely talk. Yeah.
And she wants to talk. She has
she's
a big collection.
Friend.
But she thinks that I am keeping her from you because I'm on all the social
because
media
you're
channels.
The gatekeeper?
So she keeps writing me on all the different channels. Facebook.
Let's do it.
Here, is Katie on here? No. Kimberly, are you going to stop this message? Because she thinks I'm trying to not encourage your makeup addiction.
What is the best way to private message someone? Instagram?
Yeah, you could Instagram. She's on Twitter. You could private message her. Or she's on Facebook, I think.
I don't know how to do Twitter very well. I can only read things and I get really scared that I tweet things. And then I have to text you a million times to be like, I did something.
Yeah.
And then you get annoyed. So let me, how about Instagram? I will, Kimberly will show me how to direct that. She will start it.
She sent me a picture of her makeup collection and she wants to chat with you.
She have palettes?
She has palettes. She has whatever palettes are. She says she has, I don't know.
I have literally no one to talk to about makeup. I think I bore my friends besides you because I really want them to be into it as much as I am. No one is as into
it. No.
I talk to Oliver about it. I tell him about the orders I made.
A couple people have said you should start a makeup side project, a makeup podcast, maybe just for Patreon.
No, because it's going to
I won't be on it.
I don't think anyone's going to like it.
Oh, I can say one thing. If you're not following me on Instagram, us on Instagram, my dad is now on Instagram.
Yes.
And he is clapping back to me every chance he gets. Mm-hmm. And I posted his comment and said that he threw shade at me. And then he called me and said how proud he was that he gave me a shadow on Instagram.
Do you mean shadow?
No, shade, shadow. A shadow is the same as shade. It's been a wild adventure this past week of my dad, who is Kimberly's dad, Bob, one on Instagram. He's posted two pictures, both of the dog, and that's it. He doesn't know how to post anymore, but he likes it's. I don't know if he knows what he's doing because he'll randomly like someone's comment to a comment, but he doesn't like anything else. And then, but
he may not know what he's doing. So don't be alarmed if you guys are getting liked.
But he
or
is
something.
Being super clappy back. Like I posted one, reposted a Liz one that Fizz posted about her mood. And I posted, and it was like about me, like I'm an unpleasant person. I am not pretty. I talk about true crime, all this stuff. And he wrote, I agree with all of these things. And then, I said, my dad's, and then I made fun of him for the shade. And he commented, I guess it's time for me to change the will. Yep. I'm in trouble. He's loving this. Oh, and then he got like 70.
Will he though?
No, he has like 72. Oh, God, I see what you did. He went from like 7 followers to like 72 overnight.
Oh, guys, everyone needs to like Kimberly's
when
dad.
I
Please
put him,
follow Kimberly's
And so
dad.
He calls and he's like, I have 72 followers. Am I an influencer now?
Yes, you will start getting makeup for free. Tell him he's going
to
start getting
free
boxes.
You're
going
to be invited to the next Fry Festival.
You're going to go to the Fry Festival. You're going to go on brand trips. It's going to be a whole new thing. And there's drama.
And oh, there's always with other Instagram influencers, right? He has to have beef with other Instagram influencers.
Always. That is, I wanted to do my beauty podcast. Beauty.
Oh, like talking the tea.
So I can spill the tea because I know nothing, but I do watch some of the drama stuff. And I'm like, what's going on? The most disappointing thing was when I saw my 11-year-old niece. And found out that she also knows what's going on. So I watched the same thing that an 11-year-old watches.
There you go.
And I'm really embarrassed by it.
All the puzzle pieces are falling into place.
And I don't like the way that the picture is presenting itself. I must say. Not too happy about that. Thanks.
Thanks, everybody.
Don't watch alone.
Follow us on all of our channels because I post different stuff on all of our channels. I brought back Meet the Host Fridays where I'm posting pictures of us. But it's not really. Don't get excited.
Not yet, but it's coming.
It's coming after CrimeCon. Speaking of which, if you want to support us in our CrimeCon journey, you could check out Patreon. And
if you want to support our walk with CrimeCon, please.
Where are you on your walk with CrimeCon journey, Katie?
We would like people to buy tickets with our code.
Yes, Dateline 19. Or if you can't, maybe become a member of Patreon and be our part of our community, and maybe we'll do something cool. Like if we get a certain number of new Patreons before CrimeCon, we will do a special video or something with our faces at CrimeCon. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's good.
With your wig on and your fake face.
My wig on and my new face.
It'll be really exciting.
Or maybe we'll just have Oliver send you a message.
Okay, that's all I got. But thank you, everybody. We love you. And Moses loves you.
Don't watch alone.
And
don't watch alone.
Don't watch alone. Watch with the Jew in your life.
Watch with your favorite Jew.
Because everyone should have a favorite Jew. Mine is Jon Stewart.
You're mine.
Oh, thank you. I mean, mine is my parents.
There you go.
Shoot, I got to stay in that will.
Sorry, mine is also your parents. I should probably say
yeah,
that too.
Yeah, you need to
just
say
in case,
Bob
just
and Joni.
Just in case I'm in.
Yes.
Bob and Joni.
Uh-huh.
Favorite.
Well done. Wink, wink. Good job.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Papa, can you hear me? Papa, can you see me? Papa, can you find me in the night? Papa, are you near me? Papa, can you hear me? Papa, can you help me not be afraid?